Just after the top of the hour, we're back on the Illegal Curve radio show, live from 92.9 Kick FM studios in downtown Winnipeg. And for all our friends that are joining us tonight on Ustream.tv/Illegal Curve, I'm going to throw it to the man who's in charge of the R desk, Michael Remus. What's going on Ustream tonight?
I've got a great chat here. You know, all the usuals back. We're actually talking about a very interesting promo for tickets that was in Phoenix a while ago. Apparently, if you bought a fifth of vodka, you got a free ticket for the Coyotes. So it shows how well they're doing over there. Come on down, ustream.tv/illegalcurve. Come in the chat room. You can watch us live in studio. And I'm also on the Twitter, twitter.com/illegalcurve. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/illegalcurve.
I'm Facebooking right now the Illegal Curve thing. By the way, we are now on iTunes. We haven't talked about that yet.
No, well, we haven't mentioned it yet, but we...
Remus got us on there. Let's give us a little idea of what's going on there.
You know, hopefully Thursday morning, I'd like to have it up by. You know, we'll have the full show on iTunes, you know, without commercial breaks. And, you know, if you missed the show, just search Illegal Curve on iTunes, and I think the link is on our Twitter, and you'll be able to get it, you know, pretty easy and...
Subscribe to it,
you'll get it on a weekly basis.
And put it right on your iPod, so I'm looking forward to that all year.
Very nice.
Okay.
We've been trying to get on there for a while, so I'm quite excited about that.
So, Remus, talk to Ali Kay about what she just, in the chat room. Follow up on what she just said in the chat room. I want more information on that, so we can come back to that in a bit. Anyways, let's move on to NHL news and notes.
NHL. NHL. News and notes.
Starting on the west coast of Canada tonight with the NHL news and notes, Roberto Luongo, ex-captain of the Vancouver Canucks, has voluntarily given up the captaincy. Boys, do you like the fact that he's given up the captaincy? And B, who's going to be the next captain of the Vancouver Canucks?
Two very good questions. First question for me is a little bit easier to answer. Yes, it was a good decision. And I really, I don't know if you guys caught his press conference yesterday or if you just got clips of it or you watched the whole thing. I watched the whole thing. And I really respected the fact that Luongo said that it was his personal decision to relinquish the captaincy. Whether or not there was, you know, a little bit of pressure, who really cares? Mm-hmm. He said that, you know, it was his decision, and I believe him. And he clearly wasn't enjoying it, or he thought someone else would be better suited to be the captain. So I think it's a great decision. Luongo was captain for 2 years. He was the first goalie in like 80 years or something to be the captain of a team. You know, we all agreed there was no reason for him to be the captain.
No reason.
It was too difficult for him.
It's not practical.
It's not practical at all, Richie. And he didn't like it. And it was clear. This decision is pretty clear when you think about why he's making this decision, aside from the day-to-day responsibilities of captain. He wants to be at the top of his game. He wants to. This Canucks team isn't happy with losing in the first round. So
second round,
it's time to let someone else take the captaincy. And so, you know,
was this his decision, or did management go to him and tell him it's time?
I think management did talk. They obviously talked. I'm not sure that maybe Richie knows, but I think management was involved. But Luongo says it was his decision. I have to believe that when it comes down to it, he was given the option if he wanted to be captain. But before I let Richie tackle that, and we talked about who the next captain might be, I think it's going to come down to two guys, Henrik Sedin, Kessler. And I hope they give they give it to Kessler. Richie said Kessler, and now that I've thought about it, I think Kessler would be the better guy over Sedin.
I think Kessler's absolutely the just signed a new contract extension. He's a captain in the making for years. He is the guy, the heart and soul of that team. He's not intimidated. He is a two-way forward. He's aggressive. He fits the bill in terms of that captaincy if you want it, you know, to be that role. Now, I talked about a little bit about it last week, and one of the things I believe is that Roberto Luongo was named captain in part to encourage him to re-sign in Vancouver when the times were that they were worried that they were going to be able to re-sign a goaltender like that. Now, I think that was the main factor in him being the captain.
Which is a terrible reason to make him captain.
They re-signed him, so that was the main goal, main objective of what they had. The problem being that the goaltender market has shifted so significantly since the contract that now he's not really considered to be that valuable, considering taking into account the amount of money he's being paid. That said, he's a terrific goaltender. Removing the captaincy Now, you already have him signed. You remove the captaincy. You remove the burden of that captaincy and the practicality of the matter. It's just not pragmatic to have him as a captain. You put that upon Kessler. It probably ignites Kessler to play better. Probably ignites Luongo to play better. And in a team looking to become the Stanley Cup champion, in my mind, the favorite in the West, this is a move that seems to make a ton of sense.
Okay. That's fine. You guys think Kessler? I think it's going to be one of the Sedins at myself. But we'll see. Okay. That's fair.
Well, hold on. You can't make
fair
one.
To put it on the board?
Don't you have to have two captains if one is Sedin? Don't they have a
contract
that
together? Yeah.
If anything happens, they both share everything?
Exactly.
So maybe they got half of a C. Like, Henrik gets the top C. And anyways, let's continue.
They alternate C and A every day. Yeah.
The Edmonton Oilers have told Sheldon Surrey that he's not invited to training camp. This situation seems to have officially gone past the point of no return. What do you think of the Oilers' decision to tell Surrey to stay away?
I've heard some stories about what's going on there and, you know, behind-the-scenes stories. And we're not in the rumor mill, so we're not going to start repeating things. But at the end of the day, it's been handled poorly. It has been handled poorly. I don't know what they feel he's that negative of an influence in the dressing room that he can't be around the young players. I mean, that wasn't necessarily his reputation beforehand. Whether that's the case or not the case, I think it should have been dealt with a little bit earlier. And I realize that the market might not be there for Sheldon Surrey, but I think this could have been handled in a better manner. And something, you know, for example, he was in the rink the other day yesterday with a bunch of, I think, some young
Horkoff.
Players. And
yeah, he was there with Horkoff.
Horkoff, a teammate of his. And, you know, just letting him know that way. I just think that overall this is something that should have been avoided. And I realize that he's making over $5 million for the next 2 years. It's not his fault. And I realize that he is a defenseman who doesn't play a lot of defense and is aging and it gets injured a lot. So he's not worth that much money. But there will be market for him. If they want to save some money, they can put him in the minors, pull him back up, half the salary, he'll get claimed in 1 second. And I don't think, you know, throwing him in the minors. And the thing is, guys, is this. If you throw him in the minors, let him prove himself. It's not so much proving himself. People know what he is. It's that they're going to want to get the money off the top, right? So they don't have to pay his salary. The difference is, say they keep him until the end of the year and they pay $3.5 million. What's the difference between doing that or throwing in the minors and taking the $2.5 million hit both years, paying maybe $1.8 million more and getting rid of him and just moving forward? And you're not going to be up against the cap next year because you have so many young players that doesn't really matter.
They don't have cap troubles.
You know what I mean? So you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, yeah.
I just think it could have been handled better.
It just doesn't make... it just seems like it's been poorly handled. And, I mean, it doesn't seem like he's done anything really vocally.
There were some problems, I know, behind the scenes last year in terms of some coaching and some management. And
they got a new... I mean, that team was a dysfunctional mess.
Rennie's a new coach, but it's really not new...
I know, it's not a new management. Yeah, so, he's been around. Yeah. I mean, exactly. It's not a changing of the guard, as it were. But, I mean... Anyways,
let's not forget, though, I mean, in your defense, I see what you're saying, but he did ask to be traded towards the end of last season, though, at the deadline.
Well, of course he asked
to be traded. We know
that. And the Oilers are trying to trade him.
He ended up not working out so well when he got into a fight right before the deadline.
Right, but Richie, when you ask to be traded, does that ever work out, though? Is that ever a good thing? That's what I'm trying to say.
The team doesn't want you.
Right.
Maybe. But the problem is when you ask to be traded and your contract's untradeable, it's difficult. But also the problem is when you give a guy an untradeable contract.
Exactly. He did not.
Kevin Lowe.
Yeah, I mean.
Give him the contract. You know, don't get mad at
yourself. The Surrey and Habib Bulin signings both just turned out to be bad.
Well, Tambellini signed Habib Bulin as, you know, I agree with you. It was a poor,
both signings,
poor contract.
Just,
but
wow.
One's Lowe,
could
one's Tambellini.
They have gone any worse, really? At the time, okay, we're getting Habib Bulin from the Hawks. We're getting a good, tough defenseman in Surrey who can score. He's got a big shot.
Surrey was before.
Surrey was there.
Surrey was a reaction to the Pronger.
Yeah.
Habib Bulin was a reaction to nothing.
Right, but just
Habib,
if you look at
Rollison.
Habib Bulin was a reaction to demanding to overpay an injury-prone goaltender.
It's a term.
It's a lot of money to pay for two guys that have probably combined for 40% of what they should have given them.
Yeah,
if that.
In games.
Dustin Byfuglien is going to be a defenseman on the Atlanta Thrashers and not a beast of a power forward in front of Roberto Luongo in the playoffs. Your thoughts?
Well, Dustin Byfuglien originally was a defenseman in the USHL and then moving forward through the United States Development Program, playing in the under-18 and stuff like that.
But Richie, isn't it just weird that the Thrashers have some of the best young defensemen in the league?
Well, you know, I wrote about it in the Puck Perspectives book. Which,
shameless plug alert.
Well, I'm going to plug it right now, actually.
Shameless
well.
Plug.
It's here online. It's available in PDF form already on puckperspectives.com.
That's Adobe Acrobat for our Luddites.
And then it will be available online. I think Create Barrel on. I'll post it on the Illegal Curve. End of this week, and then it's on Amazon next week, so you can order it. Anyways, I wrote about it, and their defense is terrific. Their defense is Tobias Enstrom, and their defense they have some great young defensemen, Enstrom, Bogosian, naming a couple of them. you throw Byfuglien back there, and you have Enstrom, and you have Bogosian, and you have Byfuglien, and you have Johnny Oduya. You have a lot of strength. You have Ron Hainsey. You have a lot of strength on the back end there. And I think they already are strong without Byfuglien. If they throw Byfuglien in there and solidify their top six, then you're talking about a team that can really make Pavlovich look good, and I think he has a lot of talent. And you can talk about a team that's really building himself from the back end out. And I don't mind it. I mean, if Byfuglien can add some offense from the back end too, that's great. Now, the downside is there really is no downside, guys, because they have a good, pretty good top five already. They throw them back up forward. They can use some depth up there. And they could use the help on forward more than defense, but I can understand them wanting to work to a strength.
Richie, don't you see Byfuglien playing both this year, though?
Very possible.
I think he's good. I think I agree with you. It's good, I guess it's good, too, that they're starting. This isn't, I mean, you know, remember back in the day when a forward would play defensive forward like Fedorov, it would just be for power play.
Right.
But I like how they're going into training camp. It looks like, no, they're going to use Byfuglien as a regular defenseman. But I think because they don't have the depth, he'll end up kind of playing forward maybe 30% of the time.
I think actually it's going to be the opposite of kind of the Fedorov situation. They're going to put Byfuglien to in front of the net on the power play
as
and defense everywhere else. Yeah. Like Chara.
And another guy, too, that was really successful and only I always thought he only got credit for this in the playoffs was Dandino. Dandino was another guy that he was primarily a defenseman with the Wings, and then they turned him into a forward just for certain situations. But sometimes it's almost like a utility player in baseball, a guy that can play first, third, and DH.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about flipping a guy back and forth that doesn't thrill me. I mean, if it's just going to be on the power play where he plays forward, I'm fine with that.
After last year's
playoffs?
But if
it's a guy who, if he's a tweener, he never knows where he's going to play one game to the next, you know, injuries, everything else that happens in the course of the season, I think it's long-term, it's detrimental to his development.
And you very well...
How old is he now, though?
Well, I mean, I know he's almost done with his development.
He's only
that stuff. But I'm saying that I think you put a guy, this is your position, this is where you're going to play.
That's
it's like flipping
Drew, he's March 27, 1985, 25 years old.
I know. It's like flipping a guy in baseball
from a
starter to a reliever.
And then he's going to be what he is.
I think you'd make him what he is, and period. That's it. But if you're going to start flipping him back and forth,
I guess
I'm not crazy
about it. But I mean, he's always been enigmatic. People talk about him as if he's some force. The guy's never had more than 36 points in the National Hockey League, never more than 44 points in the AHL, never more than 58 points in the WHL. So for all his quote-unquote potential, the guy's a solid defenseman slash forward who can be big and can be a low to deal with. When he really turns it on. But the guy's not a night in, night out top scorer.
No. He gets his hype because of his playoff, what he did in the playoffs.
He's
by
a
being
big guy.
Big guys
are always seen as having long-lasting potential that never comes sometimes.
Yeah. Darian Hatcher.
Well, he was an all-star.
He was an all-star for 2 or 3 years. And then
Darian Hatcher just made
the
United States Hockey Hall of Fame. I don't know if Dustin Byfuglien's ever going to do that.
He might make the Hall of Fame.
Easy.
What are you talking about?
Darian Hatcher. Oh, okay, all of a sudden, Drew's a huge Darian Hatcher fan.
Why are we talking about Darian Hatcher?
I'm not a huge Darian
Hatcher
fan. Because
you're talking
about
big guys who are overhyped.
I think you're denigrating Darian Hatcher.
I'm not denigrating. He's the top defenseman on the win a Stanley Cup winning team in '99.
He had 3 good years.
Him and Zuboff.
He had 3 good years. And by the way, I think
three good years.
I think there's probably some pretty mediocre players in the United States Hockey Hall of Fame. But I love the U.S.
There's some pretty mediocre players in the Hockey Hall of Fame, so never mind the United States Hockey Hall of Fame. Final topic here. One of my
political.
This one was done. This was done. Can you tell who wrote the show plan today? Because this one's
That's
in
for
there.
Sure.
Stephen Harper has flip flopped on his issue of public monies going towards the building of arenas.
I thought you were going to talk about the long gun registry there for a second, Drew.
What about the CPP amendments, Drew?
I don't know about those. It puts into question the viability of the Quebec City Arena project.
On the gold mail slice.
The $400 million Quebec City Arena project, because God knows every arena needs a moat in front of it. What are your thoughts on...
The moat.
Is there a moat in front of it?
What are your thoughts on the moat?
Part of the original plan called for a moat to be built in front of the arena.
We didn't actually mention that last week. What does a moat have to do with a hockey arena?
Got
to
keep the knights out. You know, the horses, you know.
Like, I realize the Plains of Abraham happened in Quebec City in 1759, but... A little Canadian history there for you.
Are you drunk again?
What do I mean? A moat? What is this? World of Warcraft 7?
Is there going to be a ceremony to lower the drawbridge?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I like that. I mean, our arena here is... What did our arena cost? 150
million? 133 million. Actually, I think it was 133.5. I've read enough articles about that that
can
I know that.
Can you tell me, I mean, really, what they could possibly be building in Quebec City that... Well, that
you
needs
just
it
said
be,
it, Drew. They're,
well,
they're
I
building
mean,
a moat.
Needs it to be $267 million more expensive?
No. I don't know about that.
There's probably gold-plated seats or something.
Do you think they're going to go for electric eels or dolphins with lasers on their heads in the boat?
Always dolphins with lasers.
Yeah.
Some freaking dolphins? I was doing an Austin Powers voice there. I'm never going to do a voice again on this show. That's the end of that. But, I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. What are your thoughts on significant public monies going towards funding private enterprises like this?
To be honest, I'll jump in here first. I'm of the opinion, and this is, we're talking about, being practical and stuff like that. A lot of people have been mentioning when John Manley, who's the former deputy prime minister for the Liberal Party,
that's
am I correct?
Right. That's right.
Former minister of foreign affairs as well.
Years ago, that's right.
Manley proposed giving federal money to the Ottawa Senators.
No, to all the teams.
To all the teams.
This was back in 2000.
Specifically,
Rod Brydon.
In 2000.
2000.
Rod Brydon was the owner. Ottawa was really having some financial difficulties. The federal government at the time, it lasted about a day before the outcry became so bad that they changed their minds, that the NHL Canadian franchises were going to receive some sort of handout from the Canadian government.
Okay, well, so, and Richie, I'll let you jump in here. All I have to say is that You mentioned that it took a day before Manley decided that on behalf of the Liberal Party he was going to basically take back what they were proposing.
Yeah.
It didn't last much more than that with Harper.
He came out
about four days later saying there's no way we're giving that amount of money.
I mean, there was
Harper
some real
bias alert. Harper bias alert.
Well, thank you, Richard. But there was some real concern amongst the people, that have no real direct impact on this, that this was going to happen because the seats in and around the Quebec City area, which are right now largely dominated by the Conservatives, are very much up for grabs in the next federal campaign whenever that comes. And this Harper's actions here in seemingly agreeing to it and then pulling back because of the outcry have put into jeopardy those, I think it's about 7 or 8 Quebec City Conservative seats.
Well, we know the most important job of an elected official is to get reelected.
Yeah, that's usually what you want to do.
Right, but I mean, my issue more is, we want to talk about the provincial and municipal money, but my issue is obviously with federal money and being involved. If the province wants to give money to the Quebec City, I mean, it can certainly boom the economy there a bit. And then the City of Quebec City wants to give money to that project, I have no issues. We're talking about federal money. I mean, there are far more important issues.
It was going to be an entirely funded $400 million...
ridiculous.
Entirely funded by public money. 55% from the province and the city and 45% from the
feds. To me, Drew, if you're getting 55% from the province and city, get the private money and say, we'll take that deal in a second.
Well, and it's not like the proposed owner of the new Quebec Nordiques is Pierre-Marc Palladeau from Sun TV. I mean, Quebecor. The guy's got a ton of money to begin with.
He's starting that conservative television station.
Well, anyways, let's not get into that.
Harper bias alert.
Before we go to break, it was just me and Richie here last week,
yes.
And we were obviously talking about this issue because it broke last week, and I mentioned that the Winnipeg MTS Center didn't get any federal money. We actually got $13 million for our $133.5 million arena. When you compare that to $170 million, that's like comparing, I don't know, a penny with a loony.
Nice,
so
good reference. Exactly. I mean, the money that
it's a private public
matter. The show has one loony, two loonies.
The money that has gone into the the arena and then the proposed stadium in Winnipeg are a drop in the bucket. And if you actually read the stadium financing deal, it's interesting.
I'll let you tell me about it.
Okay. For the new proposed football stadium in Winnipeg, the federal money that's been offered is only going into the recreational center that's attached to it. It's only going into the gymnasium at the U of M. It's not going into the stadium itself. They said no to funding that football stadium, for the stadium directly.
But
they're changing their mind, allegedly, for an arena in Quebec.
Allegedly.
And, Drew, just like the football stadium that we're getting here in Winnipeg, the reason for that, and Stephen Harper made this clear, is that when it comes to giving large amounts of public money, you cannot justify giving that amount of federal money to something that is a private enterprise. And that's why $170 million is just, it's kind of ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I think that, whether or not Quebec City is seriously considering going after the Olympics, you're not going to get anything close to that. I think the federal government would give part of their grant to the City of Quebec. But when let's be honest, the private sector's got to chip in that remaining bulk of that money if there's going to be an arena there.
Well said. Leave it on that note.
Let's leave it there. Let's go to break. When we come back, Bill Hopp from MSG.com. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 KICK FM.
Don't you run back inside, darling, you know just what I'm here for.
8:22 in the evening. We're back on the Illegal Curve radio show.
Is this hip-hop also?
No, but you know what? A lot of people don't know this, Drew, that Drew actually has an electric piano in the studio. That's Drew on piano there. It's really nice, Drew. You've been getting a lot better.
Thank you. I'm glad you think so, Ezzy. Anyways, we're back here on the Illegal Curve radio show. We're joined now by Bill Hoppe of MSG.com. Bill, welcome back to the Illegal Curve radio show. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Bill, you know, sort of a weird off-season in Buffalo. You had the Tim Kennedy story, lots of other things going on. Amongst Sabres fans, what has been the talk, regarding the team this summer?
Well, I think a lot of the fans aren't that impressed. I don't think they got much better during the off season. I mean, they replaced, you know, Ludvin Tillander with Leopold and Sean Morrison, and they have some other young guys that are coming up, and, you know, that might be okay. And they got a Rob Niedermeyer, but I don't know if they're, you know, that much better than they were last year. I mean, they were a pretty good team last year, but I don't think those additions really, you know, vault them into, you know, elite territory. I don't think they're really a Stanley Cup contender.
But when was the last summer, in reality, when was the last summer that the Sabres made any offseason moves to get better from, you know, from outside as opposed to, within their organization?
Oh, geez, I don't even know.
Yeah, I know.
It's their philosophy that they don't go after the big ticket free agents. And, you know, it's not that bad a philosophy. I mean, a lot of the guys they've let go, a lot of the, you know, guys they pass on haven't really done anything. And now they're overpaid, and, you know, they're 35 years old, and they're scoring, you know, they're scoring 14 goals like Chris Drury, and you know, that maybe some of these guys are better off with. But they don't go for the big ticket guys. They just like making the minor free agent moves, and you know, they've had some success with that though, with guys like, you know, like Teppo Numminen and, you know, guys like that.
There's a certain merit to that. You alluded to losing Tony Lubin and Henrik Talander, and talking about Talander, maybe more importantly, talking about impressive young defenseman Tyler Myers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see Myers missing Talander as a significantly, or do you see maybe Talander actually missing Myers?
That's a good question. I don't. We'll find out in a few weeks, I guess. Myers, you know, they played with each other from day one. They were great together. They had instant chemistry. And, you know, if you talk to Tyler Myers, he's quick, very, very quick to credit mm-hmm. Henrik Tillander with his development. It wasn't just, you know, Hank wasn't riding off, you know, Myers' coattails. And that's something that's going to be his training camp story. Who plays with Tyler Myers? I mean, there's a bunch of guys that can audition, but, you know, they probably won't have the same chemistry.
Yeah, and are they expecting, like, Lubin and Talander, obviously, I mean, not going to be offensive forces, mind you, but it's all defensive. Are they expecting Leopold, who's oft injured, and Sean Morrison, who, in my opinion, is no more than a sixth defenseman, are they, you know, are they expecting those guys to fill those roles left, the holes left by Talander, Lubin, or do they expect those guys just to fill the bottom levels and the other guys to improve up to higher levels on defense?
I think they expect some of the young guys to step up too. They have a Mike Weber who was up a couple of years ago, and he was fantastic. But for a bunch of reasons, he hasn't been up very much these past 2 years. They have a Marc-Andre Gagliani who's put up a lot of numbers in Portland. They have Chris Butler and Andre Sekera who have been good at times during their run in Buffalo, and they can definitely grow into bigger roles. And then they have a healthy Craig Rivé. So they have, you know, they have about four or five guys that can replace Ludman Tillander, so they could very well wind up okay.
Bill, last year Lindy Ruff was definitely expecting, you know, a huge season out of Drew Stafford. Do you think this is kind of a make or break year for not just, you know, Stafford in Buffalo, but really, you know, for his development?
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, he's close to being a bust right now. I mean, 4 years into his career, he can't be a healthy scratch, and he was at the end of the playoffs. He couldn't, you know, he got knocked out by Nathan Gerby, you know, a minor leaguer, so he's never found any consistency. You see him, you know, at times on the ice, and he makes these awesome moves that, you know, only a few guys in the league can make, and you wonder why he can't, you know, put together 25 goal seasons consistently. It's a great question, but yeah, I could see them if he has 3 goals at Thanksgiving, I could see them just trading him.
We're joined here on the Illegal Curve radio show by Bill Hoppe of MSG.com.
It's amazing because when I saw Drew Stafford play at University of North Dakota, I thought he was going to be an impact top 6 player.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, and then, you know, one of the worst things you can say about him is his best run in the NHL was, you know, a few months into his rookie year back in 06-07. He looked like that, you know, powerful, you know, 30-goal point-per-game, you know, power forward. And he hasn't had many moments like that since, and that was, you know, 3.5 years ago.
Bill, you look at the Sabres, and every year they're, you know, usually in the playoffs, or if they're not in the playoffs, they're, you know, fighting for a playoff spot right till the end.
Mm-hmm.
Is patience running thin among Sabres fans? Are they getting close to the point where they're demanding more than just a first round exit or winning one round? Do they want to see that team? Are they ready for that team? Demanding for that team to be back in a conference final or in the Stanley Cup final?
I think so. I don't think they're gonna, you know, walk away in droves if they, you know, go out in the first round this year. But I mean, they're getting antsy. You know, they were kind of spoiled after the lockout with two great teams, and you know, then they 2 seasons out of the playoffs, and they have this core, and the core is not getting any younger. I mean, they're obviously not old, but you know, how long can you keep that core together if they, you know, go 4 or 5 years without doing anything? I think fans are getting very antsy.
I think it's an interesting situation for the fans, because in reality, for this team to be able to succeed in Buffalo, they can't really spend up to the cap. So they have to be patient in that respect, but they also get antsy because they want the team to go for it, you know, 1 year or another. So I guess, you know, in one sense, they have to curb their expectations, but in the other sense, they have to, they want to dream for that one cup run.
Very true, very true. That said, though, the Sabres do spend a good chunk of money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have a reputation as being cheap, and it's well-deserved at times, but they... Usually they spend pretty close to the cap, if not at the cap.
Mm-hmm. Bill, what happens next year? I mean, obviously Ryan Miller was tremendous last year. What happens next year? And if he's even somewhat human, and his save percentage drops from, say, you know, last year's 929 to the year before is very solid, 918, will this team be able to still make, you know, a top four, top six playoff spot in the East?
Well, if Thomas Vanek can score 35 goals and Jason Pavel can have 80 points, and Derek Roy can have 80 points, and probably
a lot of ifs.
Yeah, a lot of ifs. They have a lot of underperforming guys, you know, Vanek, Roy, Pominville, those guys. I mean, they're pretty good. You know, Pominville's a very steady player, but
good shot.
They set standards for themselves a few years ago, and they have, you know, they're not reaching those numbers anymore. And, you know, if those guys get going, they could be a powerhouse. But, you know, now they have a reputation as a one-man team, kind of, with Miller.
Right. We were talking about Nathan Gerby before, and this is probably, if I'm not mistaken, this will be his first full season with the Sabres, mm-hmm. along with Tyler Ennis. Out of those two young guns, who do you think is going to surprise more people?
Well, I mean, Gerby could very easily end up in the minors again. I don't think he has waivers, and if you crunch the numbers, he's on the fringe. I think he could make it, though. I think Ennis is going to be a guy that turns heads. He came up late last year, and he was terrific, but, you know, by the end of the playoffs, he's maybe their best forward. He projects, you know, I don't know what he projects to, but, you know, maybe 25, 30 goals, 70, 80 points one day. And I think they're expecting him to step in this training camp and be a top six forward. And, you know, they want 20, 25 goals from him. They want big numbers.
Bill, Tim Kennedy, I mean, we haven't talked to you about this since it happened.
Yeah.
A very odd situation, obviously. Buffalo native, Michigan State product around the, you know, the Northeast, the United States. A guy with pretty good hands, you know, maybe a little bit soft, but just he's got talent and he's pretty cheap. Where did that all go wrong?
They didn't want to pay him $1 million, and they have their budget, and that salary they deemed too high, so they got rid of him. It was crazy. Everyone was stunned. No one was expecting it. They couldn't walk away from the award because it was under 1 point whatever million.
Right. Right.
They had to accept it. But, you know, when the ruling came down, you know, Darcy Vergeer had a press conference. We went down there. We talked to him. He talked about expectations for Kennedy for the season, and, you know, a few days later. We hear he's on waivers, so it was very, very odd, very odd. And they were very close to settling the case, too, before they went to the arbitrator. And, you know, they were just $50,000 apart, and they couldn't reach it. And then he got the award, and they ditched him.
You know, training camp hasn't even started. It's you know, set to start this weekend and, you know, get going next week. How do you think the Sabres are going to do this year? We want to get a prediction from you. Is this a playoff team again, in your opinion? Are they going to be better or worse than last year?
Well, that's a tough question. I don't know. I think they're a playoff team with Ryan Miller in net. And I really think they have, you know, for as good as they were last year, I mean, they still have room to grow because all those guys just aren't, you know, performing like they could. I mean, you know, if Derek Roy gets up back to the 80 points, and like I was saying before, they could really go up a couple spots, I think. I think there's a lot of room to grow. A healthy Craig Rivet, just, you know, stuff like that. I think they could be better than last year.
I sort of cut you off. I definitely agree with you. I think obviously they're well coached and there's a lot of talent there. I think with this team, it's simply going to be a question of if do they come together. And there's way too much offensive firepower by committee that if this team gets going, I think they could even be a threat in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. If Tim Connelly or Derek Roy had a decent playoff last year, if Tim Connelly had four assists instead of one, they probably would have beat the Bruins.
Yep.
So there you go.
Very true. Yeah, very true.
Bill, a question from one of our listeners. He mentioned that, in the preface to his question, Sabres are a team that's filled with a lot of smaller players, Tim Connelly, Derek Roy, Gerby, smaller guys. Is this a team that's in need of a power forward to sort of protect these guys and do the dirty work in the corners?
Like Mike Greer back in the day.
Yeah, Mike Greer now.
I think they want to be a little tougher. They signed Cody McCormick this offseason to a one-way deal, so he'll more than likely be on the team. They don't have a true fighter, but, they still have Greer. They signed a Sean Morrison. I think they want to get tougher on the blue line. Mm-hmm. So I think they've tried to address that.
Well, it's going to be an interesting season in Buffalo. And, Bill, you've moved over to MSG?
Yes, I have.
All right, give our listeners a little idea of where they can find you, not only online but also on Twitter.
Twitter is Bill Hoppe Sabres, HOPPE. And MSG.com, if you go to our teams and click on Sabres, and the web address is MSG.com/our teams/Sabres.
There you go.
Thanks for coming on, Bill. We know you were going to come on a few weeks ago, and I've been reading your articles and catching up on the Sabres, so thanks a lot for coming on.
No problem. Anytime, guys.
Appreciate
thanks,
it, Bill.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Seems like the Sabres have taken a sizable step back to me this year.
Not a step back, Drew, but they haven't done enough to take the step forward. Let's put it that way.
Maybe, yeah. To me, it's I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and say sideways. But every time we count this team out and say, they just don't have it this year, they always seem to. I mean, what they don't have on the ice, I think Lindy Ruff really does provide them an extra five wins a year by his presence behind the bench.
That's a lot of wins. I don't know that many, but I think, Drew, that maybe two and a half. I think what happens is when you have a Buffalo Sabres team that has to be cautious about its money, and they haven't gone out in the free agency and bought those players, and that's fine because in the area they're in and the market they're in, they can't afford to go out and just splurge money on players. The problem with Buffalo guys is that Buffalo puts money into guys, $5.3 million cap for Jason Pominville, $4.5 million for an agile Tim Connelly. Four for Roy is fine. 3.5 for Jogan Hack. Guy, for example, right there, guys, we're talking about almost, around $14 million in three players who you could get better value for other players if you had them. So they develop a lot of players, and you said many things accurately about Lindy Ruff's ability to coach his team, and obviously the goaltending is a factor. But if they could do a better job evaluating their own talent, they might actually pop up back to the top three seeds again.
It's odd that for a team that he produces, he gets so much out of them for not maybe being the most talented. That there's a lot of offensive
talent there.
Yeah, but they always seem to overpay some of their own guys.
Yeah, that's
which is odd. And then they wouldn't pay, and then they just drew the line in the sand for Kennedy.
You want to know who else does that?
You're about to tell us.
Nashville.
You think Nashville overpays their own guys?
They build their teams very similarly. Absolutely. David Lagwan's overpaid. Martin Nyrat, you could argue, is overpaid. Who else at forward?
Hey, Drew, we're not gonna argue with Richie. He's a published author now.
Okay,
that's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
No, but you're right, Richie.
They don't go to free agency. They buy the value guys at the bottom. They develop their picks. They draft. They don't sign their guys that they've deemed them to be overvalued. And they have very good net mining. And they have Barry Trotz, Lindy Ruff coaching. They're essentially the same organization. David Poile and
Regier have been
there forever.
Arguing with you.
Trotz and Ruff have been there for forever. The difference is, but the problem is for both those teams haven't taken the next step to win the cup. Or be in the finals. Buffalo was almost there when they lost against Carolina because they had too many injuries. But they haven't taken that next step because both those teams have seemed to, in the past, for whatever reason, overvalue their own players. And the Leguans and the Pominvilles, and they paid them a little bit too much money. And then I think that's cost them in the end of the day.
Let's take an early commercial break because
Rapid fire
always takes longer than we have a new Rapid Fire
Remus coming up.
Yeah, it's back.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Sweet.
Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 KICK FM. 8:39 and 30 seconds here on the Legal Curve Radio Show. We're done with commercial breaks for tonight, so stay tuned.
True.
Buckle up. 20 minutes to go. It's going to be a jam-packed 20 minutes. Yes,
Richard?
How was
Bieber last night?
How was what?
Bieber.
I wasn't actually at Bieber. I was out front of the MTS Center just screeching his name, hoping he saw me.
I was there last night. I was selling hot dogs outside Bieber last night. 13,000 screaming girls. I actually sold a few dogs.
I could be really inappropriate right now, but I'm not even gonna try.
Yeah, don't Drew.
Well, I didn't go inside the concert. I was just profiting from the people outside of it. That's right. I profit. I'm a capitalist.
It's time for rapid fire.
Rapid fire. Ready to go, man. Dion Phaneuf, worst captain ever. Phoenix Coyotes.
Mystery buyer is probably something made up.
It's just a red herring to distract everybody.
Rapid fire. Nobody can make more than the best player.
We're living in a salary cap world.
That's fair.
S and giggles.
There is no haha.
Way worse than I thought it was going
to
be.
Dad, welcome to the program.
Basically, when they say edgier, that probably means female host.
Rapid fire.
Phil Curry is actually my favorite edgier. I love his mustache. Oh, there's a lot of blow drying going on there.
What did you say there at the end? A lot of
Carrie Fraser's hair.
Okay. Sure we were. Why don't I remember that conversation?
You were on the show.
Yeah, you were there.
Yes, I was. That was 2 weeks ago. I was there.
You're fired.
In Penticton, British Columbia and Traverse City, Michigan, the Prospect/Young Star tournaments are currently taking place. Do you think these tournaments are valuable to the players who participate in them? And do you think the coverage of these tournaments have been overblown?
Good question, Drew. I think they're very valuable tournaments. I think the fact that we're in this era where we need to find out everything right away means that this is completely and totally overblown in terms of its overall importance to the team today. And I think that showing these games on TV actually probably has an adverse effect because it puts too much pressure on the players. There's too much publicity. The teams would probably rather them just be quietly develop. And I think that our thirst for hockey, or quote-unquote, you know, thirst that either we have or is pushed upon us, when I turn on the highlights and I see the rookie highlights of the Anaheim-Calgary game, I want to puke.
That's a strong take that you have there.
It's a very important tournament for these players, but they're not NHL caliber right now. They're developing. These games are development for the coaches and the players. There's no need for us to see these highlights. You know, they don't need to throw this down our throats.
It's funny that you said that, because when Lady Gaga came out with that meat dress, I wanted to eat. But,
wow.
I thought you were vegan. I couldn't agree with you more, though, Richie. Last night, I don't know if you guys caught this on TSN and Sportsnet. They were showing the Leafs and Senators rookie team.
I'm talking about.
They were showing Nazem Kadri. Nazem Kadri, I believe, got a point.
No, they're top
the other guy,
even
the
playing.
Other guy, Jerry D'Amico, scored a goal. Yeah. And just this happens every year. The TSN guy actually is giving a play-by-play of the highlights as if it matters.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
So, I mean, these are, of course, they're valuable, Drew, because they're valuable for the scouts and the coaches, but as far as what they mean to the NHL, most of these guys are going to be in the back junior hockey.
I just like the video, or the highlights of it, because it honestly looks like it was shot with, like, there's a Zapruder film or something. It's so grainy. I mean, how did we watch sports before
HD?
That's
that
my question.
I actually shot that on my Sony Ericsson.
I thought you used an iMac webcam to shoot it. I thought that's what you were doing
also.
Better
quality than that.
Yeah. Canucks 2008 first-round pick Cody Hodgson is still hampered with back troubles. He's questionable for the start of training camp.
Yeah.
He only played 24 games last season with Brampton of the OHL. Should the Canucks be worried long-term about Hodgson's health?
Well, neither of us are medical professionals, thank God, even though I'm trying to get into med school.
I thought you got in 3 weeks
ago.
Yeah,
didn't you get in?
No. Well,
your dad congratulated you.
Yeah, well, that was a fake university
The University of Phoenix?
Yeah.
Is that a real university?
No, it's an online university. It's not accredited by any actual university body.
Talk to Allie.
No, actually, University of Phoenix is an accredited university. They just offer a lot of online degrees. It's actually pretty respectable. They have a good dentistry program.
Online? Anyway. Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you can do your entire degree on Facebook chat. I did apply there, though. But getting
to Facebook
getting back to Cody Hodgson, though, a lot was expected out of him last year. He 2 years ago, he came in from Brampton and played for the Moose in the playoffs.
He saw him
play. Was actually pretty well.
I thought he played poorly. Yeah, I thought he was invisible. But he was tired at the end of the season. We can differ on opinions, though. Keep going.
We can differ. We differ. Let's differ. I could eat. So, Cody Hodgson this year, I don't know necessarily at, what is he, 20 years old or 21 years old, you can say that there's a long-term concern here.
I think the back
seems like a little sensationalistic question writing by Drew as he stuffs a gummy worm in his mouth.
A back problem. That's amazing. A back problem for a young guy like that is a concern because back problems generally don't go away, unfortunately. And the thing
what about backs set?
For a player, yeah, back injury. For a player.
I actually had acupuncture last week for my back. Acupuncture worked amazing.
And there's hypnosis and there's different bombs.
True. Why are we talking about your acupuncture?
Why are we talking about Robaxaset?
We're not talking about. We're talking about it in terms of Cody Hodgson.
Go ahead.
Anyways. Anyways, back to the Cody Hodgson point. It could be a concern, and the problem is, guys, that he likes to play the puck on his stick. He's a good stick handler. He doesn't mind going in the corners either. So if he's going to be a guy who wants the puck on his stick, he's going to get hammered a lot in the back with his cross checks and stuff. So it could be a concern later on. And right now, he's clearly not where they thought he'd be on the curve in terms of getting to the National Hockey
League. That's because he missed all that time last
year. So right now, there is some concern there.
Sorry, we're getting we were finding out from Phoenix. Today was the start date where Phoenix was have to pay the NHL. So we're finding out to see if we can get any information if the Coyotes or if the city of Glendale actually cut a check to the NHL today.
Is it actually possible for the Phoenix Coyotes to lose money before the season starts?
Yes, absolutely. It's going to happen.
I'm sure it's already been done. So we're that's what I'm following up here on the Ustream chat.
It's very possible by the end of the year, December 31st, Ezra Ginsberg may have more Facebook friends than the Phoenix Coyotes have fans at their games.
In fact, I think that's his goal.
And I might have more money than the Phoenix Coyotes team, and I think the last time I checked, I had $14 in my checking account. So that's saying a lot.
That's amazing. It's also interesting to point out, just we're getting off topic from Rapid Fire, but we went in the Ustream, we had this conversation earlier about purchasing Phoenix Coyotes tickets later in the season, January, February. Mm-hmm. Currently not able to do that on Ticketmaster.
Oh, really?
List the game, but the tickets are not for sale.
And, Drew, we should probably tell our listeners as well that it's believed that later on in the season, Phoenix Coyotes tickets are going to be available in the Show and Save book.
Okay, let's do here. We'll get the.
I got more. I have one. I have like at least 20 one-liners in my suitcase right
save
now.
Save it for later on. The NHL's Board of Governors approved a bylaw revision on Tuesday for use when teams are tied in the standings at the end of the season. Under the new wording of the bylaw 27.3C, a team's total number of victories in regulation time and overtime would be used for tiebreaker purposes. Shootout wins would not be included. Do you like this revision?
Necessary, absolutely necessary. Give the NHL credit for reacting to a problem that they had in terms of some teams maybe not being as worthy as other teams when it comes down to tiebreakers. I thought this is absolutely necessary. The better teams win in regulation, it's been proven. So good on the NHL.
I think it's a good revision, and I've converted, so to speak, here as far as the shootout wins go. I think they should scrap the shootout and have a 10-minute 4-on-4 overtime.
Like
a 5-minute 4-on-4 or
nothing
whatever.
Nothing wrong with a tie.
The shootout wins, though, as far as the tiebreaker, definitely. This is like we like to say, a no-brainer.
The New York Islanders' third-round draft pick, Kirill Kabanov, continued with the erratic behavior that has dogged him throughout his career by showing up late to his first day at rookie training camp. Will he ever get his head on straight and harness the talent he undoubtedly possesses?
You know, who knows, Drew, but I mean, this is a top 20 talent who fell into the third round for a reason. So the Islanders drafted him with the full knowledge of his background and his acts with his, I believe, his agent and junior and going back to Russia and... he has some character issues that have been well documented, and if the Islanders believe they can change him, so be it. But I'd bet they probably can't more than they can.
Has he?
I've never heard of this guy, so
already
I don't know what to say
about
that.
We'll move on then. He had first round talent. He dropped to the third round because he's a head case.
Kirill Kabanov, he's a very talented player. Some people thought he would even go. They thought talent wise he'd go first round, but they were so worried about his character, and it's been clearly exhibited already that it's an issue.
Yeah.
That he fell all the way to the third round. The Islanders broke that fall based on talent, strictly on talent.
All I can say about this is there hasn't been a player whose first and last name start with a K since Kelly Kissio and Konstantin Koltsov. You actually got upset there that I'm wasting.
That's good information.
That's good information.
Keep that up. Veteran winger Bill Guerin will attend Philadelphia Flyers training camp on a tryout basis. Is he a good addition to the Flyers lineup, potentially?
Yes. I'm going to chime in here. Very good pickup. We had Shelly Anderson on last week, and Hart is in the studio with us right now. Billy Guerin popped in 20 goals last year. He's still tough. He's still a good leader. And I thought, and all of us thought, that the Penguins should have tried to get him, but tried to keep him. Very good for the Flyers, and I really do hope that he makes this team.
We talked about it last week with Shelly Anderson about Billy Guerin wanting to go back to Pittsburgh, and they just, you know, they opted not to have him back. For a team that was so desperate for scoring in Pittsburgh, you have to wonder why a team like Philadelphia would look to sign him. But there's really no downside. It's a minimal contract. It's a tryout invitation, so I can understand it. I don't think.
Do you think he'll make the team? Think he'll stick?
He might stick, as he. But with the amount of depth they have up front, I don't think he'll have much.
It'll
of an
be
impact
tough.
At all.
Flyers are one team where he's
really a
play. There's no shortage of forwards.
He's really a power play specialist. And you think about off the top of your head, Giroux, Briere, Hartnell, if you want to throw him out, having a rebound year, Richards, Carter, and Richards plays the point.
Van Noondijk.
Rinsdijk. And Lino, like right there, there's so many players that are already ahead of him, so where does he fit in?
The City of Ottawa and the Senators are the front runners
official,
to host.
Official.
No, it made
sorry,
official?
Official. Okay,
it.
Are now the official hosts of the 2012 NHL All-Star Weekend. Are you surprised
did
that...
Did you steal this from my last week's rapid-fire question?
No, I didn't.
You did... That was the rapid-fire question.
Are you surprised that given 2012 be the 20-year anniversary of the Senators' return to Ottawa, this is the first time they are hosting All-Star Weekend?
A little bit different twist on the question. Am I surprised? No, not really. I mean, they like to rotate it around. And the reason for this, maybe I'm surprised they didn't get when they got a new arena, but the reason for this was when Ottawa started, and maybe you like to get them an All-Star game early. They were playing out of the Civic Center, right? So it wasn't big enough to host an All-Star game.
The Civic Center. Wasn't it called the Palladium at one point?
Yeah, no, the Palladium was Scotiabank Place. The Civic Center
the
was the
Center.
Civic Center.
Wasn't the Palladium a bar on Pemina?
Yes, it was. It was the Palladium,
the lid. The lid. It was called.
It was Palladium.
The lid. The pal is the pal.
The short name for it was the lid, though. Yes.
Oh, sorry.
It was the Palladium, and then it was the Correll Center, and now it's now it's.
And Wednesday
Bank
was the big night, right?
Wednesday.
Yeah.
At the Palladium in Winnipeg or in Ottawa?
Winnipeg.
Oh, okay. That I can't speak.
We'll go to Scandals later tonight.
Okay, I'll just quickly...
Is the OC closing? I hear it's changing its name.
It's changing
names. Why do you know that?
I drove past it, and there's like a...
You drove past it. It's behind... It's in the back part of Pemina. You can't drive past it?
There's a billboard that says, like, come say goodbye to the OC this final weekend, and it was last weekend.
That was... You were watching City TV, and it was the OC on TV you were talking about.
Oh, was that...
Ryan Atwood you're talking about.
Right, that's where I made...
Why are they still showing the first season of the OC? It didn't really get good until the second season.
I thought the first season was the best season.
Oh, really? Yeah, I guess you're meeting the characters and all that. Just to quickly answer this topic, though, I am a little bit surprised that they haven't hosted the All-Star game, but I was reading the story that was basically announced yesterday, and they've already hosted the All-Star game... draft twice. And they hosted it within 3 or 4 years, and I forgot about that. They hosted the draft, I think, in 2004, 2005, and they hosted it again 2 years ago.
Oh,
remember that, Drew?
Good insight, Richie.
It's definitely, to be honest with you guys, I'm shocked that the Sens have been back in the league for 20 years. That's crazy. I remember when I was, 8 years old, and they, Phil Bork and who was the other top guy? Laurie Boschman were drafted by the
Senators.
Remember
when they got good, and I forget what year that was.
It's good that they're going to host the All-Star game.
Well, they had so many high draft picks for so many years. Eventually they came together.
They drafted really well for a long time.
Yeah, they were.
Mike O'Neill, I think, was one of their first goalies.
Was he?
No, but Daniel Bertum was one of their first goalies.
Yeah. Hoppy made a joke about talking about...
Mark Lamb made a joke two weeks ago about talking about Pokey Redick. Yeah. So he went Redick, and then he went Bertum. So Pokey and the Band did it, for those of you who remember that far back, the poster.
His brother's name is Smokey.
Smokey Redick.
No, I'm not joking.
I know you're not joking. It's ridiculous.
Serious. I'm actually serious.
Yeah. Pokey Redick and his brother Smokey Redick. Season ticket sales in Columbus are down significantly from 10,200 season ticket holders last year to 7,700 this year, a loss of 2,500 tickets. Is there a team in the NHL who needs a stronger season for their long-term viability, more so than the Blue Jackets need one this year?
Well, I was going to say the Coyotes, but last year they had that season, nothing happened. So actually, Drew, I think you're right on this one. I think Columbus, first of all, I don't blame their fans. I mean, these guys haven't done much in 10 years.
Zero playoff wins, one playoff entry.
Yeah. Season tickets are expensive. I don't blame the fans there, and I think you're absolutely on when you say that. This team needs it more than anybody right now. Absolutely they do. Our Scott Arneil's going to a pressure cooker.
Carolina, too, I would say, is a team that their long-term future isn't in doubt, but Carolina is another team. They're going to make the playoffs this year. No, but they have to, and they probably won't, which is what I'm saying is bad. I mean, I don't think they have the ticket problems that Columbus, Phoenix, or Florida have, but Florida also, Richie, you'd have to say Florida.
Florida, I would agree with.
When was the last time Florida made the playoffs, 2002?
I think earlier than that.
What about Atlanta?
Atlanta, once again, zero playoff wins. But
I would rank it Atlanta, Florida, Carolina in terms of needing it.
Those three teams are going to be very in tough. They didn't make the playoffs last year, and they're probably not going to make the playoffs.
I actually believe, managerial-wise, I think they're all actually moving in the right direction. But the question is it too little too late for markets, more so a market like Atlanta than Florida, because that fan base isn't not interested in that team right now, and will they ever be interested if this team even gets going, because they've lost so many fans?
Very quietly, the NHL and the NHL Officials Association have been negotiating a new collective bargaining agreement. However, while talks have been progressing, the possibility still remains that the exhibition season may have to begin with replacement refs. Will teams have to change their game plans if it does come to replacement officials being in charge of games?
How do I apply for that job?
Did you ever ref before?
Ref soccer.
What, do you want me to ref?
Well done, Richard. That was so predictable. I was waiting for that from a mile away. I think yesterday when I wrote the question.
That was Ezzy's first ever impression of Drew.
Ezzy? Well, because Drew,
back in the day.
As everyone in this room knows, though, me and you are co-commissioners of the Jewish Students Association Floor Hockey League, were we not?
I was the commissioner, I believe. Were you not just the interim commissioner when Beener went to Africa?
Well, Beener went to South Africa and decided to... By the way, what was interesting, Beener's in the college
Beener,
actually tonight.
Our friend Aaron.
Is taking a course tonight. His nickname is Beener. Aaron is taking a fundamental...
Hurry up,
went to South Africa but decided to schedule all of the games early so he could... his own team could play the max amount of games before he left to South Africa. But yes, that's where the reffing joke came out. But what were we talking about here? Oh yeah, refs. What was the question here?
Oh my God.
Forget it. You've said enough already. That's it for rapid fire.
No, game plans. Okay, I just looked at the question here. Will teams have to change their game plans?
They might have to worry about having subpar mediocre
officials.
Well, if the NHL gives these guys rules to basically call everything, they might have to change it if it gets into the regular season. Although I think it's unlikely. I think a deal will get done.
Wasn't last time there was placement refs? They wore like sweaters or something like that. They couldn't wear the regular stripes.
You're thinking about the Jim Schoenfeld.
I think he's right though.
You're thinking about when they wore yellow sweaters. Is that what you're thinking about? You were watching the NHL Top 10 Scandal thing.
Have those
and that was
sweaters?
The Jim Schoenfeld replacement ref saga from the 80-something playoff, 86 playoffs.
Are those yellow sweaters like in a bin somewhere, and every time that there's like, they just kind of pull them out like pennies for intramurals, like they just pull out those yellow sweaters?
Okay, that's time. That's enough from Ezzy. Save whatever you're going to say. Just save it for cheers and jeers. That's where we need you to harness your energy right now.
All harness.
Time for cheers and jeers.
Cheers and jeers.
Cheers and jeers.
Kurt Kielbach is getting my cheer. He's coming back on NCIFM. He is the best play-by-play guy there is out there.
My cheer this week goes to Yaroslav Halak. Sign autographs for money, not going to his own pocket, going to the Children's Hospital in Montreal. He raised $22,000.
Cheers and jeers.
Cheer or jeer.
You know, I wasn't here last week. Let me touch on the Kurt Kielbach thing real quick. There's no way he's coming back to broadcast game on NCIFM. He'll be January 1st. They're going to announce him as the voice of the Winnipeg Jets.
That's right.
You heard it. You heard it. Their first guys.
That's right.
There you go.
Richard, cheer or jeer?
Well, Drew, I'm going to cheer the Winnipeg fans tonight. Actually, you might be somewhat surprised. They already sold, I think, 11,000 tickets for an exhibition game in Winnipeg, September 22nd and
next Wednesday.
By all accounts, what I've heard is they're going to sell out the game. An exhibition game for they're not cheap, and not all the big players play. And it's early, it's later in September, not even in October yet. And the city of Winnipeg is selling out National Hockey League exhibition game when a lot of cities in the southern states, like Phoenix for example, can't even sell out an NHL regular season game. So kudos and cheers to the fans here.
Remus, cheer or jeer?
You know, I wasn't here last week. I was planning this cheer for last week, but I'm here this week, so I'm going to cheer. I'm going to cheer EA Sports on their release of the NHL 11 game. It came out last week. I've been playing it nonstop since, and you know what? It's great, and I love their Hockey Ultimate Team mode. I've been working on building my team, and where my best player right now is Fabian Brännström, so it's a lot of fun.
You're really building.
I'm really. I got Fabian Brännström.
You playing the AHL?
You can have players from AHL, you know, any league in Europe.
Wow.
CHL, NHL.
CHL's in, right?
So CHL's in, and you know that's pretty cool. And I got Brännström, Joel Ward, Joe Corvo, Andrew Ebbett, all my favorite players.
Remus, we were talking about this last week, but have you had a chance yet to play the Wii hockey, Gretzky hockey?
I've not played that. It looks a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, I want to try
especially if Gretzky plays with you in your living room.
Yeah.
Pretty sure you can be Ty Gretzky in that one.
And Paulina Gretzky sings the anthem.
Okay.
No, she sings the anthem. She's a singer.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
I was joking.
Oh, I was kind of being serious there.
You're cheering.
Yeah, that was
like
exactly
like
what
you're
cheering. It's like cheering Paulina Gretzky.
Just cheer him.
Everything that comes out of my house. Okay, I'm going to cheer an event that a friend of ours is putting on, Kalen Qualley. He's a former Red River Creative Communicator. Is that not what it's called?
No. His name is Kalen Qual. The event's called Pass It Forward.
That's what I said.
You didn't say anything yet.
I didn't say anything.
Well, no, I was going to...
You just really? Said an event.
You cut him off, Drew, and then
sorry,
you got
I,
mad at him.
You know what? I've been having headaches lately, and I'm not feeling too good, so it's a good thing the show's almost over. But I want to I want to thank Kalen Qual, who's a creative communications grad here at Red River College. He just recently got a job with the Edmonton Oilers, so let's give him a little clap for that.
Very nice.
And he's holding this event. And this event, well, it's not more of an event, more of it's, you know.
It's a fundraiser.
It's a fundraiser.
An equipment drive. It's an equipment drive.
It's a drive, not more so than an event. And he is collecting equipment at Perth locations.
Perth Dry Cleaners, 21 city locations in Winnipeg.
That's a shameless plug right there for Drew. Drew is the finest employee, the best looking employee at least,
by far, of
Perth and Winnipeg.
That's for sure.
And I'd like to cheer him because it's the second year that he's holding it. And I know it was successful last year, and I'm sure it's going to be more successful this year.
It was a one-day event last year, and this year it starts this coming Saturday, September 18th. No,
yep.
Saturday through Saturday, September 18th through 25th. Okay. Drop off your used hockey gear at any Perth location in the city of Winnipeg. We will then clean it, and then Kalen is taking care of arranging it in conjunction with Hockey Manitoba.
And when Drew says that, once again, he means Perth's not in his own house.
That's right. Perth Dry Cleaners been around for 90-some-odd years here in the city of Winnipeg.
Okay.
Kalen is with the help of Hockey Manitoba, the equipment is being distributed to needy kids.
Yep.
So very important because hockey is a very expensive game to play. And you know,
sure is.
So you know, any equipment you have in your basement, drop it off at any Perth location. Beginning Saturday.
And Drew will be wearing it next week at hockey.
Exactly. Beginning Saturday, September 18th through Saturday, September 25th. I'm going to... Oh, Hart. H-Bomb joining us in studio as a special guest. Cheer or jeer tonight?
I'm going to throw it a cheer. My cheer is going to go to TSN. More specifically, I guess, to TSN2 for their new segment, The Morning Rush.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys have caught this yet, but it's a perfect thing. It's like every 15 minutes they replay like a short amount of clips that gives you basically all the sports you need and the least amount of baseball in the for every 15 minutes consecutively. So it's perfect.
Who's going to be hosting that, Hart?
Basically whoever the
O'Toole on, right?
Right, okay.
They pushed OTR to 4.
To 4 on TSN or
TSN?
Yeah,
TSN. SportsCenter is an hour now, 5 to 6. Off the records from 4 to 4:30. Pardon the interruptions, from 4:30 to
So they don't
5.
Have
they
Around the Horn?
Around the Horn's on TSN 2 at 4.
Oh.
And then Jim Rome's Burning is on TSN 2 at 4:30.
Really?
And then OTR is on TSN 2 at 5. And PTI is on TSN 2 at 5:30.
And Drew, there's nothing to worry about because I know you're a huge fan of TSN reporters with Dave Hodge. That won't be affected by that.
That's a good Sunday morning show. I like that show.
You'll be on that show for sure.
Steve Simmons.
With your coffee.
I remember it used to be called TSN Sunday, and it was great. Back then.
Yeah, oh yeah, it was great.
I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to jeer the ranking of entry draft prospects in September. There was a big story on the TSN website yesterday, too close to call when discussing with the scouts. There's a three-way race for the overall number one draft pick. It's September. You never know what's going to happen between now, this September, and June when the draft is, or July when the draft is. Let's take a step back. Let's take a deep breath. Let's let these guys start playing some meaningful hockey games, and then let's evaluate who's the number one draft pick.
They were playing meaningful hockey games. I saw the highlights from the rookie camps on TSN.
Well done, Remus. Well done. Anyways, that's it for this Wednesday night here on the Illegal Curve Radio Show. A big thank you to Denise in the studio. Denise, plug the All Request Hour.
There's not going to be one tomorrow.
She never tells you, right?
No, you never give me a heads up. You always make me look like a bit of
a... He smoothly transitions over and she throws him right under the bus.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I do to Drew every week. No, I'm just kidding.
In that case, I got to watch out for a lot of buses.
Ezra's rubbing off on me, so it's all good.
Ezra, you shouldn't do that in public. Anyway, so there's no All Request Hour, but thank you anyways, Denise, for doing your fabulous job behind the glass. A big thank you tonight to James Myrtle of the Globe and Mail, to Mike Doc Emmerich of NBC versus MSG, the voice of hockey in the United States. A big thank you to Bill Hoppe of MSG.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can follow us on Facebook, IllegalCurve.com. Replays of this show, if you're in the Brandon, Manitoba region, a replay on 106.5 FM is tomorrow night. A replay of this show on Kick FM is Sunday morning from 10 until noon. The show will be available immediately afterwards in the archives on ustream.tv/illegalcurve. And then tomorrow morning sometime, the show will be up on iTunes where you can subscribe to our podcast. So you can always download it, listen to it on your MP3 player, and catch up on anything you may have missed. Until next Wednesday, we you know, we have a lot going on this coming year in the Legal Curve radio show, and there's going to be a lot of news about it, and it's going to come out in the next few weeks. So stay tuned, stay with us. Exciting times here on this program. And until next Wednesday, for Richard Pollock, Michael Remus, Ezra Ginsberg, Hart Jacob, Denise Isett, my name is Drew Mindell. We wish you good night and good luck.